Good morning. Luke chapter 14. You have an interesting account of an occasion where Jesus was invited to a banquet, as he sometimes was. And used that occasion to teach a very important lesson that we need to understand if we would seek to please God. And the passage, of course, I'm referring to is the one that James just read for us from Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. We find that Jesus has been invited to this banquet. It's on the Sabbath. And he's been invited to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. And it says that the other guests who were there were watching Jesus carefully. Of course, what they were watching out for was whether he was going to heal on the Sabbath. And he does. He does heal a man on the Sabbath, a man with dropsy. And then he tells them, or asks them the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Which of you, if your son was in distress on the Sabbath, would not extend a hand to help him? Or your animal, even? But then moving on, we come to the text for our consideration this morning. Because the people there at the dinner, what they don't realize is that while they've been watching Jesus, he's been watching them. And he has some things to say. He notices how that when they come in, they chose the places of honor at the table. Jesus points this out about the Pharisees in other places. He says, you know, they love being greeted in the marketplace and called rabbi and the chief seats in the synagogue. Well, they're doing that here too. So he sees them doing that. And so he says to them, you know, what you're doing is not right. What you ought to do is you ought to sit in a lower place, because this is what's going to happen. You sit in a seat where, you know, you're trying to make yourself prominent and stick out. Well, what if someone comes who's more distinguished and more important than you? Then you'll suffer the humiliation of having to get up and move lower. It's better to start in a lower place and then be invited to move up higher. But Jesus doesn't stop with that. He then turns his attention to his host. And he says, you know, you should not invite your rich friends and neighbors. You should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Invite people who are unable to repay you. Because when you just invite your friends and people like you, they're most likely going to return the favor sometime in the future. And so it becomes kind of a mutual beneficial relationship where I'm hospitable to you, you're hospitable to me. And it's not that Jesus is condemning that and saying, you know, you should never invite your friends or your brethren over for dinner. But his point is, you know, you need to think bigger than that and invite people who can't repay you. You know, just imagine if, you know, we're having a gospel meeting and you invite the preacher over one night for dinner before the meeting, and you invite some of the Christians here. And, you know, you spent all day slaving over the oven, preparing the sumptuous meal, making sure the house is clean, the clutter put away. And the preacher comes over and sits down, and the brethren come over, and we're enjoying this meal together. And at some point during the meal, he says to you, you know, you should invite these people. You should invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. How would you feel? You'd probably say, boy, this man doesn't appreciate all of the work I put into making this such a joyous celebration, such a wonderful experience. But Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth to people who needed to hear it. And so he says, help those who cannot return the favor. Now, is Jesus just concerned about hospitality and table manners? No, I think he's trying to teach a much bigger principle here. Luke says in verse 7 that he told them a parable, which may strike us as odd, because when we think of a parable, we think of Jesus telling a story. You know, a man went out to sow, right? But here, he's not really telling a story. He's speaking to these people directly, and he's commenting on something that he's just observed them doing, and saying, you ought to do the opposite. You ought to sit at the lowest place and wait to be invited to move higher. But since Luke refers to this as a parable, it should suggest to us that there's a bigger point that Jesus is trying to make. And this was not radical teaching, by the way. Well, it may be radical in one sense, but it wasn't radical in another sense. It should have been familiar to these people, because Solomon said something very similar in the book of Proverbs in chapter 25. In verses 6 and 7, he says, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Very similar to what Jesus has said. So, it should have rang true in their ears when they heard this. It's for no other reason than the Old Testament scriptures taught the same principle. But, as we said, Jesus is not just concerned about how we behave at dinner, but he's trying to teach a broader, larger spiritual principle that ought to govern the lives of us as Christians, that ought to regulate our behavior as citizens in the kingdom of God. For he says in verse 11, at the kind of the conclusion of his first remarks to the guests, he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now that ought to be familiar to us. That should be ringing bells in our minds, because Jesus said that more than once. He said that, for example, in Luke chapter 18, when speaking about two men who went up to pray. And he talked about the Pharisee. And this is another parable that he told. He talked about the Pharisee who went up and stood before the temple and prayed to God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So here Jesus is speaking the same words, but here he's speaking about how we approach God, and what is our attitude when we come to Him and pray. Should we stand there with our puffed up chest and proudly proclaim how wonderful we are? No, he says, bend the knee, bow the head, and with contrition, confess your sins, humble yourselves before God. And John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we lie, and the truth is not in us. And so humbling ourselves means humbling ourselves before God and confessing our sins. Jesus used it in another place as well, in Matthew chapter 23, when speaking about religious titles. And again, he was pointing out the behavior of the Pharisees and saying, this is the wrong way to live. He says, they love the greetings in the marketplace. They love the chief seats in the synagogues. They love to be called rabbi. But what does Jesus say? In verse 8, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man on your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. And then here it is again. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so here, Jesus is saying, we're not to have these religious titles that set people over one another. We're not to have the name Father or Reverend or anything like that. He says that is not the thing that should distinguish us. Rather, humility and being a servant should be the distinguishing characteristic of those in the kingdom. And so, when he talks to these people at this dinner, he's speaking of something bigger than just where you sit at the table. He's trying to teach them a lesson on humility. But what about charity? Is there a right way and a wrong way to be charitable? Well, again, I think he would have us to understand that when being charitable, when giving, don't just be charitable towards those who have the capacity to return the favor, but help those who cannot help you. So charity, I think of it this way, charity that is humbly done, because it looks for no earthly reward. It looks for no repayment. It looks for no reciprocation. It looks for no return on investment, so to speak. It's just a free will offering. It's a free giving away without any expectation of anything in return. It's helping the people who are not able to return the favor. So he says, invite the poor, the blind, etc. It does not seek recognition. Again, the Pharisees, Jesus said, they love to go out and make a big show of their almsgiving. They like to sound a trumpet before them and just generate a lot of publicity to call attention to themselves. Jesus said, don't be that way. Give in secret so that your Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. So it does not seek recognition. It does not seek repayment. And Jesus, again, is not suggesting that you spurn your friends and you never invite your friends or your brethren. But what he's saying is, look out for the needs of people who are in no position to help you or to give to you or to be hospitable to you. Help people who are unemployed. Help people who are disabled. Help people who are homeless. Help people who are in prison. Help those who cannot return the favor. That's a sort of humility, I think, as well. Because it does not seek to be rewarded by the person that we're helping. I call this lesson, Humility Comes Before Honor. Because what we see in the story here in Luke 14 is the people trying to sit in the places of honor. And that's sort of like the world. I mean, the world seeks honor. It seeks recognition. And it's aggressive in the pursuit of that. But Jesus says, the way to honor is through humble service to others. And again, this echoes what the Old Testament teaches. Again, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, and also 18 verse 12, where it says, humility comes before honor. And chapter 29 verse 23 says something similar, that those who are lowly will obtain, or lowly in heart will obtain honor. So humility comes before honor. And so we're not seeking, reaching for honor, for greatness. Jesus says, move in the opposite direction. Move lower, not higher. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 to not be just concerned about your own interests, but be concerned about the interests of others. He said, regard others as more significant than yourselves. Is that not like moving lower and placing others higher and saying, here I am, what can I do to serve you? And so, what can you do? What can I do? How can I take the lower position and become the servant of this congregation? What can I do? Can I teach? Can I encourage someone? Can I help them with some finances? Can I have them over for dinner, knowing that they're in no position to return the favor? What can I do to help this congregation and to serve this congregation? Sorry. You know, this is a gathering. And we're here to help each other to grow in Christ and to reach heaven. And I can't just be thinking about myself. And I can't come in here saying, okay, what are you going to do for me? I need to come into that door and say, I'm here, put me to work, what can I do for you? And we all need to have that attitude. If this congregation is going to continue to be a light in this community and to serve God and to spread the gospel, then we need to do that. We need to be thinking, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. I'm here to do something to help my brothers and sisters and to help the work in this community. You know, we're really blessed to have Nathan. I mean, he's working hard. He's working hard to spread the gospel. And, you know, we've got some more opportunities to get out in the community like we did a couple weeks ago. And if you weren't able to participate in that particular event, maybe the next one you can see Nathan. But he's working really hard, and we need to support him. You know, he has a desire to spread the gospel, and I know we all do. But he needs our support and our help. But this is the way of Christ. It's, you know, I laugh because, you know, people talk about the countercultural movement. You know, the 60s was described that way, with the long hair and the drugs and everything, the rock and roll. Now, let me tell you, the true countercultural movement, it's Jesus. He's the countercultural movement. Because he teaches us to act contrary to the culture. You'll never be given advice like this from our culture. Take the lowest seat? Are you crazy? Wait to be invited higher? This is how the world likes to do it. The world, like I said, wants the honor and then tries to pretend to be humble when they get the honor. Though I have to admit, I've been around some people of the world who were very proud of themselves, and they felt no shame in letting you know how proud they are of themselves. I mean, they're not even that scrupulous. But that's the way of the world. The true countercultural movement is being led by Jesus. And he's saying, don't be a part of this culture. Don't have the attitudes of this culture. You be different. You move lower. You humble yourselves. And whose honor should we be seeking? Should we be seeking the honor of the world? Well, we're not going to get much honor from the world if we're trying to serve the Lord. We're going to get derision. We're going to get hate. We're going to be despised. We're going to be persecuted. But the honor we seek, of course, is the honor of God. Amen. And again, Jesus, I think, indicates this in verse 14. When he says, you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That's the goal. That's the recognition. The praise and the glory that comes from God.
Amen.
That's what we're after, folks. And so, yeah, I don't think Jesus is just concerned about how you behave yourself at dinner. So, yeah, you should behave yourself at dinner. But he's saying, you be humble. You be a servant. And this is what, and as I said, Jesus is leading the countercultural movement because he's right there showing us the way. He came to be a servant. Nathan mentioned this in his lesson this morning. He came and took the form of a servant and suffered humiliating death on the cross. So he's leading that. And we need to follow. So I hope you'll give some thought to these remarks I've made this morning. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, we're here to help you come to know Jesus, to know his love for you, to understand that he died for you. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins. He was raised the third day. And he reigns at the right hand of God. And he's coming again to judge the living and the dead.
Amen.
And you will stand before him one day to give an account for the things you've done in your life. But if you'll come to him in faith and repentance and be baptized for the remission of your sins and live to serve him, that will be a glorious day for you, my friend, when you stand before Christ. So if we can help you in your response or your need this morning, then please come while we stand and while we sing.